about Tuesday? Tuesday, what does that bring us? Well, I'll tell you what, standing in the shadows right now, over there behind that tree, jotting notes down as to what's happening for historical record, here's Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb. How you doing this morning?
Well, I tell you what, it's good to have you on the program this morning. I know you always have really well-thought-out stories that you're going to tell us about, and what is on the menu for today?
Well, I'm going to tell you about an amazing athlete.
Okay.
That I'm sure nobody has ever heard of.
I'd
be surprised.
Okay, it's not Michael Jordan.
Not Michael Jordan, but in the same rankings as Michael Jordan.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mose Burris.
Oh, I remember good old Mose. Yeah, he used to be able to throw a knuckleball and a curveball. He was a pretty good pitcher.
Okay, well, you're sort of close.
Oh.
There is a ball involved, but not throwing it with your hand.
Huh.
Mose Burris, he was a Choctaw Indian, and he was the stick ball champion. Like I say, he was kind of like the Michael Jordan of stick ball among the Indians.
Oh, my.
So, that's the story today. So I'm going to kind of give a play-by-play of what happened in one particular game. Between the Choctaws and the Chickasaws.
Okay.
Okay. So here we go. I want you to picture yourself standing on the sidelines with all the cheering of the Indian women and men. A ball shoots straight towards a goal post and goes in the goal. Wild hoops and yells from the spectators. The referee goes and gets the ball and carries it to the middle ground. There's a bunch of sweating, athletic Indians crowding around him, ready for action. Okay, so this is the scene one day a long time ago when two feuding teams battled, just like Burley Minico or any other, feuding teams do. So we have the Cole County Chickasaws. We're playing the Atoka County Choctaws in what might be called... Today, we'd call it the World Series of Indian Stickball.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, the athlete who'd just made this first goal was a Husky Choctaw Indian by the name of Mose Burris. And that's who I'm going to talk about.
Okay.
Mose Burris. Each time he stepped on the field at the beginning of a contest, he received a whole bunch of applause and yells and cheering from his fans. And just the opposite type of cheering from the other team's fans.
Mm-hmm.
They hated him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was a great player. And, in fact, a lot of the other players, they were out to get him, basically.
Uh-oh.
So, and as I go along, you'll understand what I mean by get him.
Okay.
So Mose was the only one of 10 players who, at this point, he'd made a goal. He was standing out on the field ready and... You know, he just kind of stood there kind of lackadaisical, just not really straining to burst into action. He just kind of stood there relaxed. But all of the other athletes on the field were fully aware of this man's skill, and because they'd been in contests before where they'd played against him, so it wasn't new what he could do. So he was kind of like a clever boxer in one way, because he just kind of stood there, just kind of easygoing, not telegraphing what his intentions were. But inside, he was like a volcano ready to erupt. He was ready to blow. And it had just exploded a few minutes before when he had raced down the field and made that spectacular long throw for the very first goal.
Mm-hmm.
So they were ahead by 1 point. Now, in temperament and actions, they compare Mose, this Choctaw Indian, to Jim Thorpe.
Oh, my.
Who... You know, was the amazing sports athlete on the football field.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, these two Indian athletes had a lot in common when play started. As soon as things got going, they were a ball of fire, basically. Okay, so we're standing on the sideline. We're watching 10 guys on each team out there on the field. The umpire tosses the ball and jumps clear because he has to get out of the way.
I'll bet he does.
So Mose, he comes alive. He knocked down... Two opponents knocked two of them aside, trapped the ball between his bats, ran, dodged, jumped, hurling over the down players in a dash for a closer shot, and he gave a mighty throw and scored another goal.
Uh-oh.
So now it's 2-0. Mose had made 2 successive goals. Well, after a goal is scored, a lot of times they call a little timeout, and they go to the sideline, they drink a little coffee, and what happens is... the Indian women want their players to get mad and get going. So what they do is they'll get hickory switches and they'll start smacking their players on the back to get them mad.
Whoa, stop for a minute. The women and the wives go get hickory switches and start beating their men on the back to get them mad?
Yeah.
There was a lot of divorces back then, weren't there?
Well, hopefully when the game was over, everybody was friendly.
I'm not getting in the teepee with that woman.
No. I mean, you'd hope your wife wasn't too mad at you before you went into play.
Holy smokes.
So they're smacking these guys to get them mad, get them angry before going back into play again. So here we go. Play starts again, and Mose, he streaks after the ball, but he was tripped by an opponent, kicked in the face. He's sprawling headlong in the dirt. He was up in a flash and after the man who just kicked him, but he was too far behind. So the Chickasaw player, he scored a goal. So now it's 2-1.
Okay, now wait a minute. I got a question here for you.
Okay.
What year was this?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm going to say about the 1870s, right?
Okay.
1880s, maybe.
Did they have rules that didn't allow them to commit mayhem on the field?
Okay, I'm going to talk about the rules here.
Oh.
There are some rules, but you'll see how liberal they are.
Okay.
So anyway, timeout was called again, and the banged-up players headed for the sidelines. So Mose, he's gulping down a little coffee, and as he's heading back out to the field, he was tackled by three pretty husky Indian women and severely lashed by two others before he could break away and get back out on the field.
And those were the cheerleaders.
those were his fans. So here he is, blood and sweat streaming down his back as he jumps back into the battle. He knocks down an opponent flat who tried to block his leap for the ball, but someone from behind lowered the boom on Mose, and down he went, and the Chickasaw made a goal without interference. So now it's 2-2. Okay. On the next play, a Chickasaw captured the ball, sped toward his goal for a closer shot, and it was the same guy who had kicked Mose in the face.
Uh-oh.
So as his opponent drew back to make his throw, Mose hit him and knocked him cold.
Uh-huh.
So Mose scooped the ball from the ground, sprinted toward his own goal, and Cole County, Mose, in other words, on the next play, they only needed one more tally, one more goal to win. The ball was tossed, and Mose charged. An opponent grabbed his long hair, heaved him off balance, landed on top of him, pounding and clawing. Another of the opponents pounced on, and then another. So here you got three guys pouncing on Mose. And the Atoka County star was just being pummeled and beat and given the works. Well, in the meantime, his teammates headed down the field, and they made a goal. And so the Atoka County Choctaws had won. And nobody had been killed, which was not always the case.
Now, just a minute. I got to revert back to reality here. For some strange reason, I thought you were talking about a National Hockey League game.
Well, I guess, yes, except not on ice and not on skates. So, you know, it's like the old saying, I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out.
Right.
Yeah, so, but you know, this stickball thing, that was, among the tribes, there were differences in the way stickball was played and variations in the arrangement of the playing field. Now, the types of goalposts in one might be different from those in another. So there wasn't a standard, basically.
So, you know, really, I don't know the rules of the game of stickball. I mean, what could you do and what can't you do?
Well, and let me get a little further here, and I'll tell you some of the things you can and can't.
Okay, I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we could compare this to lacrosse.
Oh.
I don't know anything about lacrosse.
Oh.
Okay, but anyway, different size balls were used, and some tribes played the game with as many players as they could get onto the field.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes there was a bunch of them.
Oh, wait a minute. They didn't have team numbers? I mean, like 5, 7, 11 or something like that? You could just bring the whole doggone tribe?
Yeah. So you could have a bunch of guys out there.
That doesn't sound good.
But each player carried two hickory bats, which is different than lacrosse, which is just one.
Yeah.
That's about the only thing I know about lacrosse. But they would take seasoned wood with steamed and one end of the bat bent into a loop, and then narrow strips of rawhide were laced across the loop to form just a kind of a shallow pocket in which they could catch the ball.
Right.
And I'm looking at a picture of this, and it's not very big.
No.
I'm going to say about 5 inches long and maybe 3 inches across.
Okay.
For this pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But what they would do, they'd carry the two bats, and they would try to catch the ball. And this was usually done by slamming the bats together to trap the ball between the two pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Moe's Burris' area, the goalposts were about 15 feet high and about 100 yards apart, so sort of like a football field.
Yeah.
And the ball, a little larger than a golf ball, was made of leather and soaked in water until it was hard as a rock, just solid. And when it was put into play, anything could and often did happen. Now, you talk about penalties. About the only penalty assessed was for slamming a knee into a downed opponent's stomach or trying to cave in his ribs. Now, for doing this, the offending Indians team had to forfeit 4 points.
Uh-huh.
That was, so it got really rough. You had to, and there were referees, so it was legal to trip, shove, slug, wrestle, pull hair, knock an opponent down, or try to brain him with a bat.
See, you're still talking. You still aren't talking about the old stick game. You're talking about the hockey league. Now get with the other stuff.
Now, this braining with a bat, that was kind of frowned on. but as a rule, the referees weren't concerned over it as long as the attempted braining wasn't done after the victim was already unconscious.
How big are these sticks, by the way, when you talk about braining somebody with a stick? I mean, is this like a log or what is it?
No, they're quite thin. I'm gonna say not as thick around as a baseball bat, but a little bit thicker than probably two or three times thicker than a golf club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of damage with a 9-iron.
Yeah, you could. So like I say, it was frowned upon to hit, you know, to brain somebody if they were already unconscious on the ground.
Yeah, you got to keep it fair.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to have some rules. And now the question sometimes comes up, did Indian women play stickball? Well, some tribes, they were not allowed to, like the Choctaw and the Chickasaws. They didn't allow their women to play, but the Creek Indians did.
Mm-hmm.
And but they weren't nearly as rough, and sometimes they wrestled, sometimes they pulled hair and stuff. And occasionally, men and women played stickball together.
Mm.
So, but again, it wasn't, you know, real rough like it was with just the men.
This is at one point of the story where I'm not going to make any comments.
Okay. Some of the men, they wore bright red and yellow turbans, and others had feather-decked, broad-brimmed hats that they wore while they were playing. So,
yeah.
But everybody seems to agree that one thing was strictly taboo in a stickball game. The player's hands could not touch the ball.
Really?
Okay. When the ball got away and rolled to the ground, the contestants tried to scoop it up with the bats. And so your hands are down there, and so there was often bloody results of getting your hands down next to the ball.
Yeah.
But the object in stickball contest, besides finding out how much punishment someone could take, was to see which side could first gain, of course, a certain number of points. And so now the number varied. Usually the number was determined by previous games or brawls, if you want to call them that, between well-matched teams. So if there'd been a lot of devastating punishment inflicted before in a previous game, the goal was set usually low, like maybe 4 or 6 or 8.
Really?
Because the higher the goal, the more chance there were that people were going to get seriously hurt.
I think the safest job in these old-time Indian sports was being a scorekeeper.
I think so. Sit up on a ladder,
yeah,
and, you know, put the numbers up there on the scoreboard. Yeah. And even then, I don't know if that was totally safe.
Yeah, old Geronimo sitting up on top of his teepee, there's going to be a hard press to get him.
That's right. So, anyway, stickball gave the Indians a chance to unleash their agility, their endurance against friendly enemies, if you want to call them that. maybe as a warm-up for real battles that maybe occurred later.
Holy smokes.
A little bit about Moe's Burris. I got to tell you a little bit about him. Like I say, he was a great athlete. But when he was about 25, he was sworn in as a deputy sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, Moe's and some other lawmen went after some Creek Indians who were raiding members of other tribes as well as their fellow Creeks, and they were stealing horses, and some of the stolen animals were driven to the Texas border, others to the Kansas border, where they were bought by white men. And the ringleaders of this little group were two Indians, one by the name of Greenleaf and the other by the name of Black Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this mounted posse, which was traveling with a chuck wagon, had stopped in the thicket to make camp. They were after these renegade Indians. Now, as a rule, when hunted men go into instant action, they go into action as soon as they feel like there's danger.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the lawmen glanced up just as the outlaws rode out of some timber and spotted the chuck wagon, and they jerked their rifles up and started yelling and firing and shooting, and people were dodging and getting behind bushes. Well, during this hide-and-seek battle, which followed, one lawman was shot in the heel, and he immediately quit fighting.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, he couldn't walk.
No.
The others carried on, and two of the outlaws were killed. The remaining three, they took off on their horses, but they were pursued. And anyway, the two leaders, Black Tiger and Greenleaf, were captured, and they brought them back to the wagon and handcuffed them. And anyway, the wounded officer with the wound in his heel, he kind of got some razzing because, you know, typically they don't quit fighting until they're either dead or running out of ammunition.
Absolutely. What a coward that guy
was.
Yeah,
I mean, he just got shot in the heel, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, now what about Mose? Was he the hero?
Okay, well, let me keep going here. Okay. You know, like say, there's one, sometimes lawmen are kind of pictured as being heartless gunslingers.
Mm. Yeah, Wyatt.
And in some cases, that has probably been so. But
sure.
One incident in the career of Mose kind of gives us some insight into his attitude, his decency. And probably there's a lot of them that were like this. But at one point, Mose was handed a warrant to bring in a man who had imbibed a little too much of the drink.
Imagine that.
Serving the peace.
Oh, my.
So there was a warrant for his arrest. So the fellow lived on the side of a mountain. Well, Moses was asked if he wanted somebody to go with him, and he said, no. He says, I'm okay. He said, that man doesn't want to hurt me. All I'm going to do is bring him in. Well, Moses walked up to the wanted man's door, and the man called. And he said, come on in. Well, Moses stepped inside the cabin. And he explained, Mose explained that he had come to take him to town on a charge of disturbing the peace. And Mose said, you know, I kind of felt sorry for him. He told me to wait until he got his coat and told his wife where he was going. And he says, I watched him real close. And he says he went into another room and he said something to his wife. And he came out and said, well, he says, I guess I'm ready as I'll ever be. I wonder if you'd do me a favor, though. So the man asked Mose, he said, he told me his wife was due to have a baby any day, and he hated to go away and leave her alone.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, if I would get the judge to let him come back and stay with his wife until after the baby was born, and she was able to take care of it, that he would promise to come back on his own.
Absolutely.
So Mo said, I agreed to do what I could. So he said, we went into town, and I explained things to the judge. Well, the judge wanted to know what the fellow could put up for bond, and he didn't have anything. And he says, I told the judge if he would let him go back and he failed to show up as he said, I would go bring him in. Well, the judge decided to give it a try, and the man was released and later came back in on his own, just like he promised.
Mm-hmm.
So Mose was, he also worked as a cowboy. And like I say, he was quite an athlete. And he must have been a pretty good hand with a rope, because it says that he was exceptionally good at roping goats.
Really?
Now, Zeb, you're a roper, I know.
Yeah, they call us goat ropers all the time.
I know. But, you know, according to this, to rope a goat is harder than roping a cow.
Oh, by far, I think.
Because they're so speedy and jumping around. And but old Mose, he could rope about anything, including goats.
Never try a pig?
I've never done that, no.
Okay.
But he was also a pretty good shot with a gun. One time there were some fellows that heard about his shooting skill, and they came to his place and to see if this was true. And one young man picked up a big old tin can and put it on the ground a few yards away where the old lawman stood holding his .45 Colt. And he said, Mr. Burroughs, see if you can hit that can. Well, Mose answered. He said, well, he says, why don't you toss it up in the air? Well, when he did, there were three quick shots exploded, and the young fellow hurried over to the can, picked it up, and looked. And sure enough, there were three holes in it.
Holy cow. You know, a lot of that stuff we always think is just Hollywood, but I guess there really were some guys that could handle those big old Colt 45s back in the old days.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but there's another occasion where some people came to visit him, and they had a .22 automatic rifle. Well, they found a board that had a hole in it about an inch and a half round, and so they put a piece of paper on the opposite side, so all you saw was the white of the hole. Well, Mose put the rifle, and he emptied it, just boom, 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 boom. They went over to the board, and sure enough, every shot had gone right through that inch and a half hole.
Wow.
So,
man.
But like I say, he was pretty good. The guy that's writing the story tells that he asked if Moe still had that 45 Colt, and he did. And so he asked if he could shoot it, and so they were outside. And the author says that he lifted up that 45 and he raised it above his shoulder and lowered it to line up on a fence post. And at this point, Moe said, "said I guess you're not too good of a shot, are you?"
You know,
he says, "Well, no, I'm not a very good shot." He says, "When you lifted that gun up and then dropped it down on your target," he said, "I could tell that you're going to overshoot. You shoot too high."
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Do it this way." Okay, so Moe, if you can picture this, by this time, he's an old man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I know we're running out of time, so I got to hurry. But basically, he remained seated, moved the pistol to his right thigh, held it in place with his left hand, and dropped his right arm down, hanging low, pulled it up real quick, quick as a flash, like a fast draw artist, and showed the guy, that's how you shoot. When you're bringing it up, it's like you point your finger, and then as you come up, that's when you pull the trigger.
Really?
You don't bring it down like you see, above your head.
Yeah.
Like you see.
Oh, like the old Hoot Gibson type things.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, again, I know we're about out of time, so let me just finish on Mr. and Mrs. Burris, his
yeah,
wife.
Yeah, real they fast. I got a minute left.
13 children.
Oh, my.
8 of whom are living, and this was back in 1964, though.
Oof.
Moe's helped raise 2 children of Mrs. Burris's by a previous marriage. Moe's was 66 when his first child was born.
Mm-hmm.
85 when Mary Frances, the youngest, was born, and this was in 1953. So he was past 98 at this point.
If you think I'm going to make a comment, you're dead wrong.
That's the story of Moe's Burris.
I want to get Dr. back.
Indian.
I want to get back real quick to the buckskin beauties that were the cheerleaders. Man alive! I mean, they weren't exactly the Dallas Cowgirl cheerleaders, were they?
No, but they got the attention of their Indian team.
I guess they did. That was a good story about Moe's Burris. I'd like to read more about that one. Listen, I appreciate you being on the program. You do a great job every week. Dr. History, better known as Dr. Ken Turner, chiropractor in Burley. Thank you so much. And real quick, how's your idea coming along?
Talked to John yesterday. We're moving ahead.
All right. That's better than backwards.
You're looking good.
Okay. Thanks much.
Okay, you have a good day, Zach.
God bless. Take care.
Bye.
The story of Moe's Burris. That was interesting. I like that one.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.